Welcome back to The Marriage Melody, where we are composing a lifetime of love and happiness with our husband. I am your host, Rivka Harper. Hopefully, you were able to work on the last homework, which was to look for the things that your husband does or says that you can be grateful for. It didn't matter if it was big or small or even very, very tiny. Working on this will help tremendously with what we'll be learning today. If I told you to go back in history, even just a few hundred years, and tell me what image your mind conjures up when I ask you about the role of the average woman, what comes up? Most people have images of a housewife, her day filled with cooking and taking care of the house and the children. The husband was the one that went to work. And if, God forbid, the wife was widowed, unless there was money to begin with, she was usually poor and had a very hard time making ends meet. She did not have much of an education, and there were very few jobs available to her, and the ones that were normally did not pay very much. For much of history, women did not have the same rights as men. The first university is said to have started about 1,200 years ago, in 859 CE in Morocco. And it wasn't long after that that other countries started opening up various schools of higher level learning. However, it was not for another 1,000 years, in 1867, which was about 150 years ago, that women were first allowed to attend. With regards to voting, it was only about 100 years ago, in 1920, that the United States passed the 19th Amendment that technically allowed all women the right to vote. However, it was only after the Voting Rights Act in 1965 before women of color were, in reality, allowed to vote. While the modern feminist ideas are wonderful and should be applauded and encouraged, we need to keep remembering that we are not equal. We are different, as we have discussed in the past. We won't go into detail here, but if you want a more in-depth information, you can go back to episode 3. We mentioned that there are male character traits and female character traits, and we all have some unique combination of both sets, with males having predominantly male traits and females having predominantly female traits. That means that in general, women's paths will be concentrated in certain areas, and most men's path will be concentrated in other areas. That also means that, yes, there will be some women who prefer a stereotypical male profession, and there will be some men who prefer a more stereotypical female profession. So where am I going with this? I want you to realize that at the core, we are all human beings. We are all people, and as such, we all have underlying needs and desires that are the same. We all need food, clothing, shelter. We all crave love. And we can add on that we all have the right to vote, or should have the right to vote, and be able to go and work. However, as we said, we are not equal. We are different. To be equal would mean that we would be the same. God does not make duplicates. He does not create things or people that have the exact same mission in this world. If we were equal, there would not be a need to have both a husband and a wife. So we are not equal. But what we should have is equal opportunity. Equal opportunity to vote, to work, and choose the career of our choice, and equal pay for equal service. Just like my brother is allowed to choose what he wants to do for his career, I should also be able to choose what I want to do. We must, however, be careful not to get too carried away. Just because I'm now given the same opportunity to go out and to work does not mean that all women want to or should go out to work. We need to remember the innate nature of what it means to be a woman. God created woman to nurture, to need connection, which is why it is usually the women who are better at the things related to the home and the nurturing of the children. Our husbands, on the other hand, were created with the need to feel like they are in control of situations. They need to feel like they have a handle on things, that they are the driver, not the passenger. This is how they were created. Please, however, please do not confuse this with an overly controlling and abusive relationship. That is something totally different, and that is not good. If you have issues or are concerned, please go and seek professional advice. In any situation, there can only be one person who really is in charge. Can you imagine if a country had two rulers that had the exact same power? One of two things would happen. Either nothing would get done because the two of them would be fighting all the time, or one person would end up taking the lead and the other would be the second in command. It's just how people work. The captain is the one that runs the ship. He is the top person. But do you want to know something else? He cannot run the ship by himself. The captain needs a helper. Who is the one person the captain absolutely needs and cannot live without? Give you a hint, no, it's not the cook. You can stock up on canned food and you don't need to have a cook for the food. And the food doesn't need to be appetizing, though it really sure helps. Who does the captain need? The navigator. The captain cannot run, guide, and steer the ship by himself. He needs the navigator to be eyes and ears, telling him where the land masses are, where the icebergs are ahead, etc. After being armed with all that information from the navigator, the captain is then able to guide the ship in the direction it needs to go. One is not more important than the other. The captain cannot guide the ship without the navigator, and the navigator cannot steer the ship without the captain. Both are equally needed. Both are equally important, but they have very different roles. We talk about our husband being our king. The king is the top ruler. We are the queen, yes, but our husband is the king of our house. Does that mean that we must always do as our husband says and that we have no opinions or thoughts of our own? Are we supposed to be regulated as servants, or worse yet, doormats to be walked all over? Absolutely not. We are told we were created as our husband's helpmate. We are to support him when he's doing good and be there to guide him when we see he's straying. So does that mean if my husband just can't do things right, isn't it my job to correct him? You see, no matter how much I show him, he just can't change the diaper properly. And when he packs the groceries at the store, he puts the egg carton underneath all the heavy items. We have different roles, but that doesn't mean that A, one is better than the other, and B, that you have to stay home and raise the children. Nor am I saying that you should go out to work. What I'm saying is the husband is the captain of our ship and we are the navigator. This means that we must stop taking the control away from our husband and give him the control of our ship. It's not always an easy thing to do. Society has taught us to be tough, to be independent in all aspects of our lives, for that is how to be a strong woman, right? Well, yes, we all need a certain amount of control, for we need to be able to control ourselves. We control our anger, our actions, and whatnot. However, we need to let our husband be in control of our ship. How often do we get annoyed with our husband when he's helping us by folding the towels or washing the dishes or cleaning the table and it's not done my way? So we berate him for not doing it right, aka my way. My husband just can't do things right, no matter how many times I show him. He can't change the diaper, and when he goes and packs the groceries, he puts the eggs on the bottom and all the heavy stuff on top, so the eggs are always breaking. How about when he's driving? Are we backseat drivers telling him what to do and what he did wrong on the road? Or do we bite our tongue, and quite hard sometimes, and just let him drive? Well, let's take a look and see what happens when we do bite our tongue. Other than perhaps shedding a little blood sometimes, what is the outcome? There have been several times where one of my boys comes and asks me for something. Something that costs money. I know enough about our finances to generally be able to answer yes or no. However, sometimes, or maybe often, they can be quite persistent, and honestly, just to get them off my back, I send them to their father. I figure he's the one that's in charge, so let him deal with persistent boys. It's not that I want to say no to them. It's just that I don't think the money is there for what they want. Do you know what happens when I do that? When I give control to my husband? Sometimes the answer is no, and when that happens, the boys are sad, but they accept it. And sometimes he surprises not only the boys, but me as well, and he says yes. Whatever the answer is, my husband feels important. I know that, for I see it. I see what happens when he feels out of control, when the control has been taken away. And I see him when I give him the control. He not only is more secure in himself, but he's also a whole lot more happier. And when he is happy, he's more optimistic. He has more energy, which helps him get more things accomplished. And overall, it's just so much better. And I know you're probably asking, what about me? How do I feel when I relinquish control to my husband and make him my king? Honestly, I feel relieved. I make so many decisions already by myself that it just feels good sometimes to be able to give the decision-making to somebody else. That's one less thing I have to deal with. It just feels so good. I was recently sent a meme that had a husband and a wife in it. The husband says, "For the last 28 years, all you've done is find mistakes in anything I say." The wife responds, "29 years." How would you feel if all someone did was correct everything you ever said or did? Would you feel important? Would you feel like a success? Or would you feel like nothing you ever do is good enough? Would you perform to the best of your ability if you were treated this way? So yes, be the amazing woman you are, for you really are an amazing woman. Go out and vote. Choose your career path, whatever that may happen to be. You deserve it. But while you're being that amazing woman, don't forget one of the most amazing, important things you can do. Give control to your husband. Remember, we were created to be his helpmate. We are to help him, to bring him up, not pull him down. Let him be your king. When you do, you'll be uplifting him and helping him be the strong person you need him to be. I personally would rather let go of some of those smaller things that might bother me in order to have a husband who is strong, someone I can look up to, and someone who will cherish me. This week, I want you to work on letting go. Find just one or two small things that you're willing to let him do his way, no matter what you think of the job that he does. And if you need to bite your tongue, bite your tongue. If it's hard to watch, look away. See you next time.